We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content. Let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy, or is that just the way he acts?
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
I don't even know what to say about last night, ladies and gentlemen. I honestly don't. I've been sitting here thinking about it for however many hours. I can't say the word that I want to say because I get fined by the FCC and Dave Klein would have to bleep me, because it was definitely a blank show. There's no doubt about that. It was, you know, it was kind of like at times I felt Chris Wallace's frustration, because it was like Friday afternoons with Jane Duker when I try to keep her from babbling out of control. I just wanted to see if there was a reaction there, since she's on the phone line. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Yes, I didn't know if you had already, you know, muted me or not. So how are you, dear?
That was hard.
I lasted a few minutes, and then I just said, nope, I'm going to watch West Wing.
Oh, really? So you gave up on it. Jeff Smith's also on, former State Senator Jeff Smith. I thought we'd get my Democrat friends, also regular roundtable participants, to chime in as we start the show here this afternoon. Just quickly, Jane, though, on something. We talked about something yesterday. I know you wanted to kind of clear up as well.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday we were talking about the fact that Wesley Bell was mandating flu shots in his office. And I had commented that the company that was going to provide the flu shots, which are actually, they're providing them today, was a donor of Wesley Bell. Actually, it's their COO. The COO of Affinia is the frequent donor to Wesley Bell, and she's also, I guess, was on his transition team and was also part of, I guess she works on his diversion programs. So I should have been more precise when I said COO. Not the company, the COO of the company. So, good. No,
let me bring Jeff in here. Let me bring Mr. Smith in here and just thoughts about last night. Look, I think I said going in, and a lot of us did, and you probably agree, I don't know that any minds were going to be changed. I can't see, and I'm hearing a lot of the Trump apologists today make excuses. I can't offer excuses for the behavior. I thought Joe Biden's behavior was questionable at times. I really thought, you know, I put confidence in Chris Wallace because I like Chris Wallace. I don't think he handled things well at all, but what's your takeaway, Smith?
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me on. I think that there wasn't a lot more that Chris Wallace could have done without a little like shock collar on the president, or at least the ability to mute him. And it'll be interesting. You just saw that statement, which I think you commented on Twitter humorously, Mark, coming from the Commission on Presidential Debates, saying that they were going to have to put into place some more rigid structure for the next debates to ensure that they don't have a repeat of that debacle last night. And I think your comment was, you think?
Well, I think it's pretty clear we need more structure. But you know what, Jane? You can't tell me that that was an accident. You know, Trump knew what he was doing, right?
I you know what? I agree. And look, I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched a lot of clips. But I don't think Biden should have taken the bait. But I will tell you, it would be very difficult to sit there and tolerate that sort of behavior. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, Monday morning quarterback, he shouldn't have taken the bait. But, I mean, he was clearly looking to get, you know, Biden out of control. And I think he did pretty well.
Yeah, I think that was
the
plan. Right.
Right. But that it was a game to him, and that's really frustrating because it was obvious that that was a game.
And to the extent that it's a game, a lot of it is an expectation game, right? Where, you know, like 20 years ago, there was the expectation that George W. Bush, you know, wasn't smart enough, you know, because Democrats had spent so much time during the primary mocking him for his articulation, you know, the way he said the word
strategery.
Yeah, strategery, you know. And you know what? He did okay. And people thought he was fantastic because he didn't trip on himself. And I think you saw Trump over the last 24 hours, more than anything, he's been the victim of his own ridiculous punditry over the last year. Sleepy Joe, and he's senile, he's demented, he doesn't even know where he is. And, you know, so he lowered the bar so low that it wasn't too hard for Biden to easily jump over that bar.
And I that's what I kind of said going in. You know what's interesting, though? At the very beginning, and this went, nobody's going to remember this because it went off the rails so quickly. At the very beginning, it might even been the first answer that Joe Biden gave was really shaky. I mean, I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is going down a rabbit hole very quickly. And he sort of came out of it, and then they moved on. And, you know, there were moments, despite all the shouting, the back and forth, the things we couldn't hear, I think you guys might even agree with me here. There was a mic drop moment. Dave, play this on Law Enforcement, where the president completely owned Joe Biden when he asked the question about endorsements. Let's play the audio on that.
He's talking about defunding the police.
That is not true.
He doesn't have any law support.
Look,
he has no law enforcement
that's not
support.
True.
Almost
that's
nothing.
Not, that, look.
Oh, really? Who do you have? Name one group that supports you. Name one group that came out and supported you. Go ahead.
Look,
think. We have time.
We don't have time to do anything.
No, think about it. Name one law enforcement.
By the way, even Chris Wallace, I think, laughed at something Trump was saying during that. I mean, if he had more moments like that, it would have been a success for the president, I think.
He followed up the law enforcement endorsement with a lie about who endorsed him. I mean, he takes defeat out of the jaws of victory like no one on the planet. I mean, yeah, that was a good moment because that is a big part of his platform, is law enforcement, law and order, and trying to make Biden look like a defunder and, you know, Antifa and all that nonsense. But then he lied about a sheriff, and you know, which was completely unnecessary. It was completely unnecessary, and it was an
I don't even know about that.
Error. Yeah, he lied about the sheriff of Portland endorsing him. That was just false. And the sheriff came out that night. He tweeted last night. He said, nope, never did, never would, and I don't
know. All right. So, let's talk about just the takeaway here and the effect it has on this election, which is now, just 5 weeks away. Jeff, is it changing any minds? I'm going to play some audio here in the next segment from Frank Luntz's focus group, where they have somehow found three people, and I guess maybe there's only 10 in the whole country who are undecided on this election. I guess there are people who are undecided. Look, the president's supporters want him to be a bulldog. They don't care the way he acts. They just don't want socialism. They don't want the policy, the agenda of the extreme left. So they're not going to care about the way he behaved last night. So is anybody?
So, you know, I think the president had a goal last night, it was portray Joe Biden as being beholden to the radical left. And I think last night we saw him fail miserably in that effort. Mm-hmm. He wanted to say Joe Biden isn't for law and order, he's for the looters. And Joe Biden said repeatedly, unequivocally, I am for law and order with justice for all people. He tried to portray him as beholden to Bernie Sanders and wanting single-payer health care. Joe Biden spent the entire primary pushing back against Bernie Sanders and others' universal health care plan. And so Trump wasn't able to pin him with that last night. And similarly on the Green New Deal. And so everything that Trump, I think, tried to do in that regard failed. He, you know, apparently wants to appeal to these so-called suburban housewives that he thinks are going to be terrified by Cory Booker bringing low-income housing to the suburbs. But everything about his demeanor last night was anathema to
he was up for a fight. You know, he wanted a fight. He wanted a fight. And I guess maybe the only thing I would say about Chris Wallace is maybe he should have just, instead of interrupting him, maybe he should just let it go. You know, rules be damned, and just let them go at each other, because at that point, you know, it was just a shouting match back and forth. You couldn't hear any of the answers. Jan, I'll let you chime in here on the effect of the election. Is there any?
No, I don't think there is any. But I do think the fact that Trump was unable to denounce white supremacy, given chance after chance after chance, is going to reverberate even with suburban women. You know, the softball was hanging there in the air. And this Proud Boy thing, that upset a lot of people, like people who wouldn't normally, you know, be that disturbed.
Nobody knows who the Proud Boys are. But the thing is that nobody knows who the Proud Boys are. I'm going to agree with you on this. You know, by the way, he did. People are saying he didn't denounce white supremacy. He did, but he didn't do it in a way that was satisfactory. And I don't know why that was so difficult. I really don't. He could have done that very, very simply and just refused to do it. But anyway, we'll find out more. We'll get your thoughts, Jane, on the roundtable this Friday. Jeff, I appreciate you joining me this afternoon as well. I want to play some audio and get to some other things this afternoon. But thanks, gang. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right, take care. So I do want to get through. There's a couple of things that I want to point to when it comes to the responses last night, and I'll play you some of these undecided voters, which are just kind of, you know, baffling to me. We're going to go down to Louisville and get some information on the release of the Breonna Taylor grand jury testimony. That's been delayed just a little bit because of redaction. My friend Joe Arnold's going to weigh in on that. And Dave Klein has put together an amazing debate montage. And I haven't even listened to it yet because I want to hear it live on the air. We'll do that before 3 o'clock. We have baseball this afternoon on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
Look, I'm just somebody who thinks, and I saw Bernie Goldberg tweet this morning, and maybe I wouldn't go this far, but I've said this before, and I know that a lot of you are put off by it because you're beholden to President Trump and Cult 45. But look, I think he's a reprehensible dude. I really do. I don't like him at all. That doesn't mean I don't support a lot of what he does. But that was ridiculous last night. But what Bernie said, he said something along the lines of, it was the worst behavior I've ever seen, but I hope he wins in a landslide. Just because, and that's what people are debating within themselves. My wife is very apolitical, but she's watching last night and she thinks Trump's a moron, an idiot, but she ain't voting for Biden. So there's a lot of things that could go on. And let me focus on one aspect of this. And this is something that really is important, I think. And Christopher Rufo has been leading the charge on this from Seattle. You might remember, Chris, we had him on earlier this summer. I think this goes back to June. And he exposed something that was going on in the federal government, which has to do with something called critical race theory. Now, let me play the question from last night. I'm guessing, unless you listen to this show on a regular basis, you've heard me going off on critical race theory. I'm guessing a lot of you don't know what that is, and maybe you were confused by it last night. But let's play the question, the response by the president. I said at the beginning of the show, I'm very disappointed. Chris Wallace, on this issue, seemed clueless. I keep listening to this, trying to figure out a way that maybe he could answer this question without displaying ignorance, and I'm certainly not aware of a way that... At this point, he doesn't seem like he's dialed in. But let's play the question. Here it is.
This month, your administration directed federal agencies to end racial sensitivity training that addresses white privilege or critical race theory. Why did you decide to do that, to end racial sensitivity training? And do you believe that there is systemic racism in this country, sir?
I ended it because it's racist. I ended it because a lot of people were complaining that they were asked to do things that were absolutely insane, that it was a radical revolution that was taking place in our military, in our schools, all over the place, and you know it, and so does everybody else. And he would know.
What is radical about racial sensitivity training, sir?
If you were a certain person...
Okay, let me stop it right there. Now... Maybe I'm going to back off here a little bit. And Dave, cue it up to that point where Chris says, what is insensitive about or what's so wrong with racial sensitivity? I'm hoping Chris Wallace knows the answer to critical race. I'm not convinced that he does. But let's play this question, and I want you to hear what the president says. Then I'll explain all of this, and I'll explain how the president could have answered much better and given people an understanding of how I think important this is and how dangerous it is. But here's the question from Mr. Wallace, the clarifying question.
What does everybody else, and he would know.
What is radical about racial sensitivity training, sir?
If you were a certain person, you had no status in life. It was sort of a reversal. And if you look at the people, we were paying people hundreds of thousands of dollars to teach very bad ideas and, frankly, very sick ideas.
Nobody knows what the president is talking about. I know what the president's talking about. I hope Chris Wallace does. I'm not convinced. But let me explain what the president's talking about. Let me tell you how he could have answered this question. Chris Wallace says to him, what is so wrong with racial insensitivity training? Chris, it's not racial insensitivity, racial sensitivity training. It's critical race theory. And embedded in critical race theory is an admission of your own guilt or a transgression or evil. And this is designed in a way to explicitly prevent dissent. And by the way, if dissent emerges, you crush it. Now, let me give you, Chris, a couple of examples of this. And this happened in a Department of Education funded session with your tax dollars in mind. According to the minutes of the session, the keynote speaker, there's a woman named Bettina Love, who opened up the session by saying, America has oppressed people of color for 400 years, and the teachers must consciously tear down a system that oppresses people and build a new world. Then she argues that the United States has a racial contract that says it's okay for white people to kill blacks with impunity. This is taxpayer dollars funding someone to go up before teachers, the Department of Education, to tell them how bad they are because they're white, okay? I know that some of you don't agree with me on this, but I ain't cool with that, okay? Well, Mark, you're not, you know, you don't get it. You don't get it. Well, I get it when it comes to this, and this is outrageously dangerous. And when the president says it's, now I've gone into Mark Reardon here and not the president talking to Chris Wallace, but when the president says it's racist, it is racist. It is absolutely racist. In this particular session, Bettina Love argued that President Trump deliberately allowed the coronavirus to kill people of color. She claimed in the session that reform is not enough and that public school teachers must push for the abolition of prisons. I'm not making this up. I think some people think I'm making this up like it's a conspiracy. This happened. This is documented. And this is not just this session. This has been in the military. But by the way, corporate America loves this. They love it. They're doing it right now. And they can do it, I guess. But this is taxpayer funded. So you have to overthrow the capitalist wage labor system, radically change the school system, tear down structures that impede anti-racist education. Bettina Love then demands white people get out of white emotionality. They have to be willing to give up their wealth. She claims that all the existing civil rights laws are racist and that white teachers must be co-conspirators in the revolution. In another session, Chris Wallace, you tell me if this isn't racist. You tell me if you're okay with this. The trainers ask white managers to create safe spaces where black employees can explain what it means to be black and to be seen in their pain. White staffers are instructed to keep silent and sit in the discomfort of their racism. This is going back to what I said about the dissent. If the dissent emerges, you crush it. That's what this course does. If conflicts arise, the trainers insist that the white folks don't get to decide when someone is being too emotional, too rash, or too mean. They are told in the course of these sessions they cannot protest if a person of color responds to their oppression in a way they don't like. Now, look, I think this is outrageous. The president knows it's outrageous. He issued an executive order to say we're stopping it. It should be stopped. Chris Wallace apparently doesn't know what's going on. Joe Biden apparently doesn't know what's going on. Most of the American people don't know what's going on unless they've been in a session like this. I'm going to take the pretty strong stand that I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and yes, it's racist, especially when my taxpayer dollars are going to pay for it. So the president was right. And by the way, Mr. Wallace, this is not racial sensitivity training. I think we've all gone through that. This takes it to a new level. Now, maybe corporate America and people think that this is the step that we have to take, but I disagree with it. I'm going to voice my opinion. Chris Rufo disagrees with it. Now it's me saying this, not the president. I know it gets confusing sometimes, but it wouldn't have been too hard. But see, the president knows these things. He hears the information, but he's just not good at this. I mean, it's the way it is. He's not good at pouncing and saying, let me explain to you. And Joe Biden isn't either. We know that. Now, Dave, let me see if I can get some of these undecided voters on here quickly before the bottom of the hour. So Frank Luntz does these focus groups, and he did it in 2016. I thought it was interesting in 2016. Apparently, we still have undecided voters. Here's one of them.
I'm still undecided because they really didn't answer the questions that I was looking for. I really wanted to hear more in depth about race relations and the civil unrest. I also wanted to talk about, I wanted them to talk about how they were going to help the American public when it comes to COVID-19. Now, we've already had the first stimulus, but nobody really talked about, you know, how they're actually going to help the American public. They're still talking about corporations. They're still talking about the vaccine, but they're not talking about putting dollars in the pockets of the American people. So I'm still undecided.
Yeah, there you go. And by the way, let me back up a little bit, because I think this is something else the president could do. On the critical race theory question, he can say, Chris, this is why I believe this. I think it's racist. I think this is inappropriate. But I also think that and this is where he fails. He fails miserably. I also think we have an issue with race in this country that needs to be discussed when it comes to policy. How about this? I'm a fan of school choice, education reform. We need to build upon that. There's all kinds of different ways to throw ideas into the conversation, but that's not what this is all about. One more here. Undecided voter number three, Dave.
Well, I think we got everything that we didn't learn anything new. We learned that they play loose with numbers. They attack one another and avoid the issues when they can. Particularly when Biden was asked about would he pack the Supreme Court if the Democrats took control, and he never got an answer to that question. That's a very important question, and so many questions by both individuals are avoided, and it's just more about attacking one another and talking about issues that they want to bring forth.
I guess he wants to hear answers, and I think there should be answers to certain questions, COVID in particular, distributing the vaccine, all of these things. But yeah, it's just a shouting match, and that's where we are in 2020. We'll come back with much more. We'll find out a little bit more about the release of the grand jury testimony in the Breonna Taylor case coming up. Joe Arnold down in Louisville.
There's a swing and a long one.
The journey to the World Series for the Cardinals begins today.
That's a Donner for Vader.
It's postseason playoff action as the Cards take on the Padres. Pregame at 3:12. First pitch 4:07. And you can hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
Yep, we're going to join baseball here in about a half an hour. Going down to Louisville right now, former WHAS television radio reporter Joe Arnold, my friend, big Cardinals fan, too. The developments in the Breonna Taylor case and the grand jury testimony is supposed to be released, but I think there's a bit of a hiccup. Hey, Joe, how are you this afternoon?
Doing fine. It's good to talk to you again, Mark. I'm sorry under these circumstances, but yeah, interesting developments here. I will say that the grand jury testimony was due to be released today in the Breonna Taylor case, meaning that the recording and the transcript of what they had presented to the grand jury last week. But a judge now in this case has agreed to the attorney general's request for a delay because of the fact they had to redact a lot of personal information that couldn't be made public.
Aha. Yeah, well, you know, and I don't know if you've ever read the grand jury testimony from the Mike Brown, Darren Wilson incident, but there was a fair amount of that went on in that. Now, we never got the recordings, and there was some criticism of that because, you know, if you just read something, you can't really detect tone and things like that. But was this the plan? I asked this, and I meant to ask you last week, Joe, when we were talking about all this. Was this the plan from Mr. Cameron all along, or did he sort of agree to this after there was a request apparently from one of the grand jurors?
This was actually an order by a judge. So the Brent Hankinson, who's the officer who was charged with the crime in connection with the incident with wanton endangerment because of the gunshots that went into the other apartment. So in that case, the judge basically said the grand jury recording should be released. So it's in relation to a different case, but now that it is out there, it's a matter that his attorney has agreed to that as well, as far as having that information out there.
See, I think it would be helpful, and I'd be very curious, and when you and I talked about it last week, look, I'm absolutely open to the idea of finding out new information which may reveal something that hasn't up until this point. I'd like to hear these tapes and look at the testimony, because I think it's going to be really revealing. You just wonder if everyone else is going to pay attention to what's said in that testimony.
I agree with you, and I think, but then again, what troubles me is just, you know, the grand jury testimony is normally protected and sacrosanct for good reason.
Right.
So the fact of, you know, witness intimidation and other things that people need to know, they can speak freely in those situations, and it's not going to be public. And so this is obviously the rule is not to release it. You know, the attorney general, interestingly, I think, you know, readily agreed after the judge ordered him to do this. So there wasn't like an appeal to a higher court. And he, in an interview with a local TV station here in Louisville, indicated great confidence, and in some ways this might help him. Now, the other troubling part about it, to a certain degree, is the idea that any criminal case should be judged by the court of public opinion rather than through a legal process. And that's something which is, I think, is unfolding here, is the idea that, well, now the entire public will hear this argument, and then we'll have some kind of a referendum on what kind of charges should be filed. And that's not the way the criminal justice system works.
Yeah. Well, and the grand juror in particular who filed the motion apparently was focusing on what Mr. Cameron said last week about, because it's the understanding, the way he explained it, there is no statute which allows him or anyone else in Kentucky to move forward with prosecution of those officers based on the facts of the case. So the grand juror apparently felt like something happened during the course of the testimony that would have indicated something else.
Well, presumably, and they, of course, the grand juror has not been released yet to be able to make any kind of a public statement in this situation. Presumably, there was a difference of opinion within the grand jury room in terms of what charges should be brought against anyone involved in this beyond Brent Hankinson, who was the one who was outside the apartment who fired the wanton endangerment shots, allegedly. And so I'm just drawing this conclusion on my own, is that this is a grand juror who, once all the evidence was laid out about how the attorney general described what happened, believed that there should have been other charges brought against other people, but couldn't get the other grand jurors to agree with this grand juror. You see my point? In other words,
yes.
You just need 9 out of 12 votes on a grand jury, in Kentucky at least, to be able to advance an indictment against someone. And the attorney general said in the interview a couple days ago is that, you know, that they were free to make their own assessment and did not. Now, you could counter that by saying, well, at the same time, usually grand juries are led by prosecutors. Prosecutors have an idea of what they want to do. And, in fact, in this case, the prosecutors from the attorney general's office did not recommend charges against the officers who actually were involved in the death of Breonna Taylor.
Joe Arnold down in Louisville. All right, we're going to join baseball here in just a few minutes. And look, I think the Cardinals can win this series. The Padres are dinged up when it comes to pitching. We're a little rested because we didn't have those games on Monday. Kind of crazy things happen certainly in a year like this. How does Joe Arnold, Cardinals fan, feel about this series with the Padres?
Well, the Cardinals strike out a lot. Chris Paddock, the pitcher today for the Padres, strikes out a lot of batters. So I see the over-under today. I'll ask you, Mark. I mean, maybe we can place a little side bet, but I'm going to say if the Cardinals are anything like they've been the last two seasons, I think the over-under on this might be like 14 strikeouts for the Cardinals. And you just got to hope that maybe they can, frankly, luck one out. I mean, a little Colton Wong corkscrew home run just hooked around the right field foul pole, and they win, 2-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
The Cardinals pitching is
I'm
good,
going the other
you know,
way.
But
I'm going the other way. I'm going to go conventional wisdom. Sometimes doesn't work out, and I think that the Cardinals are kind of in the Padres' heads. I know how much talent they have. I think KK is going to smoke them, so I'm looking for 4 or 5 runs from the Cardinals today, and I'm going to call it. I'm going to say 5-2, the final. There you go. I'm just pulling that out of my
what. I'll say 2-1 Cardinals.
So we'll see what happens.
I'm going to root for the Cardinals. I'll predict a victory, but it'll be not a lot of offense.
All right. We'll see what happens. Joe Arnold, enjoy the game here this afternoon. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mike.
That's so lame, though, when I think about it. Not a whole lot of offense. Come on. That's the easy choice because that is the St. Louis Cardinals. But you never know. Look, I think it's great, and you can't, it doesn't all hinge upon this, but certainly not a bad thing that Mike Clevinger will not pitch in this series. And also Lamet, who finished with a 2.9 ERA, was going to be the number 2 starter. So there is a chance here, and crazy things can happen. The Reds in Atlanta, by the way, tied up an 11-inning game right now. It's scoreless. The Reds had bases loaded in the top of the 11th and could not get someone across the plate. Mike Moustakas struck out swinging. So, man, I'll tell you what, the Braves, though, they it wouldn't surprise me if they dropped this series. Wouldn't it be – now I want the Cubs to win. I was going to say, wouldn't it be great if all the Central Division teams won, except for the Cubs, right? We got to have an exclusion for the Cubs. Although, beating the Dodgers, there's some satisfaction in that, too. It's 2:45. We're back with an amazing debate montage from last night. The way I know it's amazing, Dave Klein, my producer, who put it together, told me it was amazing. So it's got to be amazing. We're going to find out next.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons, on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Hey, Klein, you know what came off my resume today for the first time in 6 weeks?
What's that? I don't know.
Kindergarten teacher.
Is she back?
Well, here's what's interesting. It's kind of a weird feeling. Alexa Reardon, 5 years old, got on the bus this morning. Dude, she was so excited. And this is one of the reasons I felt so bad for her. You know, she wanted to be with her friends so much. She's doing the Zoom calls and, you know, she can talk to them a little bit. She wakes up this morning, the biggest smile on her face, and she says, I get to go to school today. That'll change quickly. You know how that is.
Well,
a couple
true.
Of grades. But look, very excited. She gets on the bus. We're the worst parents in the world. We're asking our neighbors, hey, what time does the bus come for this school? Because we can't seem to get organized on this school process. But it's kind of a weird moment because I'm sitting here as I wrap up the show this afternoon because we got baseball and she's going to come home on the school bus for the first time. I haven't had a child come home on a school bus for a long time. It's been quite some time.
Did you get emotional this morning when it happened, when she got on the bus?
No.
Oh,
no,
see, I mean, think I'm going to be that dad.
No, I was real happy. I just was so happy that she got on the bus.
Well, different circumstances this year. That's right.
Well, you know, and I hope it stays this way. I really do. And we've seen a situation where, yeah, I was thinking about this last night, Dave, and I didn't Google this, but remember back in August, I don't have two hands because I'm holding the microphone, but you might be able to type into Google. Remember when school first got going down in Georgia? Georgia had opened things up. The school's going to open up. Uh-oh, disaster in Georgia. This is going to be terrible. Teachers are going to die. Bodies falling everywhere. And then that school opened up, and we saw, remember the video that came down of everyone in the hallway, and CNN went ballistic, and they panicked, and then the school shut down. You notice that we never heard one thing about that ever again. We've never heard death numbers from Georgia or Alabama or Jeffco or St. Charles County or one of the other counties in Missouri. Or there haven't been, I don't think there have been, I don't want to be insensitive here, Catholic nuns that have been, you know, dropping dead all over the region and the country from teaching school. So it's about time. And I told Dr. Miles, I have to thank Dr. Miles in the Rockwood School District, because I advised him, Dave, you might remember this, early August when this was July. They came out with the plan, the 2-day plan, and then 3-day virtual or whatever it was. It was nonsense. It wasn't going to work. Then they went to all virtual. I said, look, the Mark Reardon plan is the way you go. They finally listened, Dave. They finally listened.
Well, it's about
5 days. It is about time, Dave. And by the way, you know, I can kind of joke about this, but I'm serious. It would have worked perfectly fine from the beginning. 5 days for kids. I said, kindergarten through fifth grade, okay? Kindergarten through fifth grade, the middle schoolers got to wait a little bit longer, see how things go. But for kindergartners through fifth grade in school, 5 days a week, I think they're going to get there. Dr. Miles, thank you for listening and taking the Mark Reardon plan and putting it into play and implementation. All right, Klein, you're telling me, I said today, Dave, why don't you put a debate montage together, right?
Well,
and
you did.
You took the challenge
see,
on.
And I thought I was going to take the easier route out and just find one out there that someone else made, but I was not really satisfied with what I found, so
look,
I kind of just made
that
one of my own.
Look at that. Let's hear it this afternoon as we go out before baseball.
The issue is the American people should speak. You should go out and vote. You're in voting now. Vote and let your senators know how strongly you feel. Vote now.
Are you going to pack the
Make
court?
Sure you, in fact, let people know you're a senator. I'm not going to answer the question.
Why
because,
would you answer that
because
question?
Because the
you
question is,
a lot of
the
new
question
Supreme
is,
Court justice, radical left.
Will you
who
shut
is
up,
on,
man?
Listen, who is on your list, Joe?
This
Who's
is
on your
so
list?
Right.
Gentlemen,
this
I think
this
we've
is
ended
so
this.
Unprecedented.
He's going to pack the court.
We have
not going to give a list.
We have ended this segment. We're going to move on to the second segment.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it? Keep yapping, man.
The people understand, Jeff.
A lot of people died, and a lot more are going to die unless he gets a lot smarter, a lot quicker.
So, Mr. President?
Did you use the word smart? So you said you went to Delaware State, but you forgot the name of your college. You didn't go to Delaware State. You graduated either the lowest or almost the lowest in your class. Don't ever use the word smart with me. Don't ever use that word.
Oh, give me a break.
Because you know what? There's nothing smart about you, Joe.
You have begun to increasingly question the effectiveness of masks as a disease preventer. Are you questioning
efficacy of masks? You have to understand, if you look, I mean, I have a mask right here. I put a mask on, you know, when I think I need it. tonight, as an example, everybody's had a test and you've had social distancing and all of the things that you have to. But just I wear like masks when needed. When needed, I wear masks.
Okay, let me ask.
I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. He could be speaking 200 feet away from it. He shows up with the biggest mask I've ever seen.
That's he's talking exactly, about defunding the
that,
police.
That is not true.
He doesn't have any would, law would you, support. Look, he has no law enforcement
that's
support.
Not true.
Almost
that's
nothing.
Not, but look.
Oh, really? Who do you have? Name one group that supports you. Name one group that came out and supported you. Go
look,
ahead.
Look,
think. We have time.
We don't have time to do
no,
anything.
No, no. Think about it.
All right.
Name
folks,
one law enforcement
folks.
Group that came
think,
out and supported you.
I think, gentlemen,
you.
I think I'm going to take back the
there
moderator's
aren't.
Role.
I don't think there are.
Manufacturing went in a hole.
Excuse
number
me,
one.
Chris. Wait.
Number two.
Chris.
Number three.
They said it would take. No, you're number two.
No.
You get the final word, Mr.
Well, it's hard to get any word in with this clown.
The American people lost tonight because that was horrific.
You just took the words out of my mouth. You used some high-minded language. I'm just going to say it like it is. That was a show.
Yeah. All right, Klein. Pretty, pretty, pretty good. If you're a Curb fan, you'll know what that means. And that was an S show. There is no doubt about that. And by the way, Dave, had we just told people ahead of time that they could have listened to, what was that, 2.5 minutes of the debate montage, they didn't have to waste 90 minutes last night of their life. They'd have that back. So for those of you who missed the debate, you got it all, courtesy producer extraordinaire Dave Klein. We're back tomorrow, 2 o'clock. I think we have an hour before baseball. Let's go, Cardinals. They're coming up here in just a few minutes on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.